Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Why are you an atheist? Why are you an atheist? That's our question today. Well, if you're an unbeliever, maybe you'd like to share with us some of the reasons why you do not find arguments for God convincing, or you don't find God all around you, as maybe some others do, including ourselves. We're perfectly willing to share our position. We do believe in God, and we'd love to talk with you about why you do not. 888-318-7884 is the number. I am Cy Kellett, your host. This is Catholic Answers Live, and our guest this hour, Trent Horn, is the author of Persuasive Pro-Life. He's the author of Hard Sayings. He's the author of Answering Atheism. And now he is the author of Why We're Catholic. Trent, thanks for being with us today.
Always glad to be here.
And when we ask people, why are you an atheist, what's the primary thing that we're looking for? Reasons or experiences? Or does it not matter? Maybe someone – there could be either one.
Sure, it could be either. I guess what I would like to know is it's possible – I would hope that it's possible you could be someone who believes in God. Many people do. But if you were an atheist, you don't. And I would think hopefully there are reasons – or an explanation for why you don't believe in God when other people do. And we should talk about those, because if God does exist, I would say an atheist is missing out on a whole lot. If God does not exist, then someone like myself or you, Cy, would be deluded, essentially, or at least very mistaken, and that would severely impact how we lead our lives. So it's an important question to answer. What is God like? What do we mean by the word God? And does God exist? Is there a God? Is theism true? Or is atheism true, that there is no God or just no good reason to believe in God? So those are questions I would enjoy talking about with callers who identify as an atheist or an agnostic or someone who doesn't believe in God. So wherever you might be on the spectrum, we'd enjoy talking about it.
888-318-7884, the number. But I guess I have in mind the person who says, I don't have any experience of God. I've never run into that. You know, what do we say to that person?
Well, I've never run into God at the grocery store either myself. I mean, I've probably come across some people in less than ideal circumstances who claim to be God, but might be a tad, mentally unbalanced. So I think I would agree with the person that, no, I don't see God or come across him in my daily experience, because God is not a thing in the universe like, you know, a mountain or a molehill or the ocean or other people. God is the reason for everything that exists. God is infinite being itself, and he is the sustainer of the universe. So God exists beyond space and time, but his effects can be felt in space and time, both through the fact that there is a universe that is explained by him, and also when he personally reveals himself to us. That for me, I had to go through arguments for God first before I could have kind of an internal witness of God from the Holy Spirit in my heart. So you kind of have to go it both ways. Sometimes before you have that internal witness of God, you have to sift through kind of the external witnesses or reasons you might find in the natural world.
888-318-7884 is the number. Happy to take your call if you are not a believer, if you do not believe in God and would like to share your reasons for that with us, and if you're willing to discuss those with us, we'd love to have your call, 888-318-7884. And Trent, you have that whole book, Answering Atheism, but in the newest book, Why We're Catholic, you handle this in a smaller kind of bite-sized thing. Why? So maybe you can give us a little idea of what you say there to some, maybe someone who's looking. You know, the book is about the whole thing, the whole enchilada, the Catholic thing. But it has, but God's a big part of that enchilada. I didn't mean to make God a part of an enchilada, but you know what I'm saying.
Well, since God is the sustainer of all things that exist, in a loose sense, God is a part of an enchilada or all of the enchiladas, because without God, there would be no enchiladas.
Thank you for
saying
that.
So there's your deep thought for the day. Yeah. Without God, there would be no enchiladas. What I Do and Why We're Catholic, that book was written for a very broad audience. I wanted anybody really who could read and think about these important questions to see that as Catholics, we have good reasons for what we believe. And here are those reasons. Here's why we're Catholic, why we believe in God, in Jesus, the Bible, and the Church. So I have to cover them all briefly, but I try to present the best reasons in the book. And in the first few chapters, I talk about why we believe there's a creator of the universe. This creator is God, and this creator, God, has a loving plan for us that will conquer evil, that God is love, and God will conquer evil and bring those who desire a relationship with him into union with him for all eternity. So I talk about that there. Answering Atheism was my very first book that I wrote. And in that book, I wanted to comprehensively address the arguments for and against God. And even in that book, there's still areas that I wasn't able to touch because there are many broad subjects related to philosophy, science, history, a lot of things that come up. And, you know, I'm happy to address here on the show and in other formats. But Answering Atheism is where, to continue the analogy, is where I tried to get the whole enchilada of the atheism debate in one book, whereas there's just a sampler in Why We're Catholic.
We always fill up with calls on these days. To the caller thinking about whether to call, we can give you our word that we will do our very best to converse civilly and reasonably and responsibly and all that, and we hope that you will be willing to as well. And we would genuinely like to hear, why are you an atheist? As I said, we get lots of calls on these days, so you're going to want to dial 888-318-7884, and we should probably just go straight to phones, Trent.
Sure.
Joe in Veazey, Maine, listening on 90.3 FM. Why are you an atheist?
Oh, hello there. I wouldn't call myself a someone that is like it immediately dismisses anything. What I would say is the idea of trying to grasp something that is just completely unfathomable, it just seems like that there are better ways to consume your time. It's like trying to understand what the fourth dimension looks like from a third dimensional standpoint. It's just so hard to do. Any person that wants to try to actually look to understand, to use my analogy, what the fourth dimension looks like, you know, all the power to you, man. No problem with that whatsoever. But the way I just look at it from my own personal life is I would just like to do things in my life that are a bit more at home. For lack of a better word, something more grounded in reality. So it nothing to do with hate or anything like that. It's more of just, hey, here's a really nifty idea that's cool, but there's other things that preoccupy my time.
Okay, so you think that God, just the idea of God, is not very relevant, and why would we waste our time thinking about something that would be like trying to ponder what it's like to live in the fourth dimension?
Absolutely.
Well, let me put it to you this way, Joe. I would agree with you that I can't really understand what it's like to be God. Like, what would it be like to be omniscient or to be omnipotent, to not have a body, to, you know, be present to all things at once, to be outside of space and time? I don't know what that's like. But I don't think it's absurd to say, well, there is a world, there is a reality, you know, we should be grounded in reality. But it's important to ask questions about that reality. Like, why is there a reality instead of none at all? Why is there something that could not exist? Well, the most logical answer from my perspective is that there must be something that has to exist that explains why there is a universe instead of nothing at all. It also explains a lot of other things, too, because I think that for you, you say, well, let's keep it more at home. It sounds like you'd want to live a life with purpose. Would you say you strive to find purpose in life?
Well, that also goes into sort of my philosophy, which, there's a category of, like, atheism and agnostics that you use, but the way I look at purpose and fate, even though I like to read a lot about the idea of fate, is that it's just really meaningless to find, like, your like divine purpose in life. If you have something that you think is great, or you think it's worth working your entire life to go after that belief or understanding of something for the rest of your life, all the power to you. That, I think, actually get the journey to get the answers that you want in life, I think, makes life even more reasonable. But the idea,
Joe,
of
can
trying
I ask you a question?
To actually get an answer is, it just seems really unfounded to me. And I prefer to have answers that are more grounded.
Okay, well, I think that seems a little contradictory to me that, you know, what's more important is the journey than the answers or the destination itself. That might make sense if, you know, you just want to travel and just see the sights, or in that case, the journey really is your destination. But it seems to me like it's possible for someone to waste their time or to waste their life to say that, well, as long as you put your heart into it, it doesn't really matter. I think most of us could see there are places where we, deep down inside, we say, wait a minute, that's not what you're made for. You were made for more, that you have dignity as a human being, you have intrinsic worth. And if we have a purpose or an end built within us that we should strive for, and I think we all do and we recognize that, that, I think, indirectly points back to a creator, an all-good creator, who has given us this kind of purpose or end. And I talk about this more in my book, Answering Atheism, and I'd love to stretch this out more, because the purpose and meaning of life is probably the most important thing we can talk about, but we're running up to our first break here, and we really enjoyed having you call in. Definitely call back when we have more time to discuss this important issue.
Thanks, Joe, but we are late for a break. We'll be right back with more Why Are You an Atheist? With Trent Horn on Catholic Answers Live.
Don't you just love listening to Trent Horn? Did you know you can book Trent or any of our other great speakers to speak at your parish or special event? Contact one of our seminar coordinators through the Speakers Bureau section on Catholic.com today to find out more information.
Howdy, folks, this is Jimmy Akin, and I'm here to tell you about a very special promotion we look forward to every year. It's our annual store-wide summer sale in the online shop at Catholic.com. This online event features savings from 10 to 50% and more in some cases on every book, track, CD, DVD, ebook, and MP3 we carry, including my newest book, A Daily Defense. With lower prices and a great selection of solid Catholic resources, it's a sale you can't afford to miss. So log on now and all this month at shop.catholic.com and take advantage of our very special prices. You know it's all good stuff because it's from the people you know and trust at Catholic Answers. That's shop.catholic.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 12:38, some scribes and Pharisees asked Jesus for a sign. He answered, "An evil and unfaithful generation seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights." The Jews of the time were not concerned with accuracy with time the way we are. Jesus died on a Friday and rose on the following Sunday. That was close enough. In testing Jesus, the Pharisees were actually testing Almighty God. But their real fault is not to be found in their ignorance, but in their self-centeredness. This is often the case with us as well. While the 3 days meant nothing to them, we have the gift of hindsight and faith. But do we also look to Him with gratitude and love? I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. all day. 2 hours today we get with Trent Horn, and our topic, why are you an atheist? If you are an unbeliever, if you don't find the arguments for God's existence persuasive and you would like to discuss what other arguments you do find persuasive, we'd love to have that conversation with you. We promise that it will be as friendly as we can possibly make it, and we would genuinely like to talk about it. 888-318-7884. Trent Horn, our guest this hour, staff apologist here at Catholic Answers, speaker and writer extraordinaire. We go now to Tony in Los Angeles, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Tony, why are you an atheist?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
First of all, an atheist is not someone who does not believe in God. An atheist is someone who does not believe in a personal God. There may be a God, there may be thousands of gods. The God I reject is the God who supposedly is a loving God, a God who cares, a God who intervenes. All we have to do is look at things like the Holocaust, slavery, children in cancer clinics. You as a Christian believe that God could intervene, but he does not. Mm-hmm. So here's this loving God observing the Holocaust, gas chambers, slavery. I don't have to tell you what blacks went through. Children in cancer clinics. It absolutely makes no sense unless you accept the personal God, but besides loving him, blaspheme and curse him. Why would you not curse a God who allows human suffering?
That's a good question, Tony. Why does God allow suffering? You describe moral evils, humans wronging one another, and natural evils, things like cancer, disease, things like that. Let me ask you a question. You don't believe in a personal God, or at least a God who is loving or good because of these evils. If God were loving, what should he do in response to, let's take moral evils, like people robbing, stealing, raping, killing each other? What should God do in response to that?
He did in the Old Testament, intervene with all the bad people.
Wait. Are there... Tony, are there people who never do a single bad thing? Don't we all do even minor bad things at some points?
Wait, you're playing the wrong game with me. Let me tell you the right game. The game is that your God, your loving God, by definition, allows human suffering. That's
right.
What you believe. So don't try to sidestep and get into these other areas. This is the unanswerable question because it makes no sense. And
Tony,
you know it. You're
Tony, I am answering the question, Tony. I'm answering it. And you're saying God allows evil, and that's why you don't believe in him. So I want to know from you, what should God do so that you would believe in him? Because it seems to me to get rid of all the moral evils, wouldn't he have to make us robots without free will? Or just permanent, you know, anytime we do anything to hurt one another, even tell a lie, God zoops in and shuts our little mouths so we don't tell a lie? Should God do that for every single bad thing that we do?
You're talking to the wrong guy. Not the every little bad thing. The Hitlers, the Holocaust, the children
I want to know where you draw the line. Should God stop drunk people from driving in cars?
Are you thinking? Or are you still with us?
I'm here.
Okay, Tony.
So yeah, what do you think about that example? Should God, if you're drunk, he swoops in and keeps you from getting, you can't find your keys so that no one gets run over by a car like children?
No, the serious people, the Hitlers, just open up the
why not? Why shouldn't God
allowed? You would not allow it if you saw a child in the street being abused. You would not allow it. You will go out and do something. It's not up to us. This is the point you're missing. It's not up to us to understand God. That's not the, it's the point you're missing.
But Tony, it sounds like you understand that he was wrong about allowing things like the Holocaust. So it sounds like you understand what God should or shouldn't do.
If there is a personal God, not just I, anyone, not just I, anyone would say he should have intervened and he should intervene.
All right, my last question. Why should he intervene? Is it a fact that he ought to rid evil from the world?
You bet.
Okay, can you prove that fact?
It's not up to me to do that. I observe the universe. I observe human suffering. It's you Christians who believe that God allows it because you believe that if he wanted, he could intervene.
Yeah, but you're Tony, you're saying...
That's why atheists are atheists.
Okay, all right. Well, I think we're probably going to have to move on at this point. But I think we've got to the root here, and I think this is very instructive about what happens when the subject of evil and suffering comes up. And I agree that it's very emotional to see terrible things happen in the world. But notice something interesting with our discussion up to this point. It's okay for God to allow certain kinds of evil, small things, telling a lie, maybe even drunk driving. We never got a clear answer on that. But he should definitely stop Hitler and really, really bad things. So it seems to me that Tony and other atheists understand God could have good reasons for allowing quote-unquote minor evils, but it's the major ones he should step in for. Now, I would come at it as a Christian. I'd look at it this way. If God is all-powerful and I see reasons for the minor evils, what about the major ones? Well, I can't see the reasons why God would allow really bad things to happen. I can see reasons for the minor, but not the major. But if God is all-powerful, then I should give him the benefit of the doubt that he has reasons that I, as a fallible, finite human being, cannot see. And, when the Holocaust comes up, as it often does when we talk about the problem of evil, Hitler was not one person who just pressed a button one day and killed 6 million Jews and millions of other people. The Holocaust happened because of centuries of small evils, lies, slander, calumny towards Jewish people and others, building and building, hatred, greed, avarice, building, building, building on top of one another until you get the Holocaust. That gigantic evils we see in the world usually don't just come out of the blue. Moral evils, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
They are small moral evils to build and build and build. So we see that if we want a world free of moral evil, God would have to take away our free will. He would have to take away so many good things. But maybe God can allow evil so he can bring more good from it. Goods like love, courage, compassion, free will. And that's part of the mystery of how an all-loving, all-powerful God can bring good from the evil that we see. And so I think evil can point us to God in that respect.
Is it fair to say then that God does, in fact, set a limit on evil? I mean, he doesn't let the Holocaust go on forever, not even a human life can go on forever. But it's just not the limit that we set, that he doesn't set the limit where we would or in the way we would.
Well, it's interesting. We say, well, why doesn't God intervene? It's an interesting question because we might say, well, perhaps there are other terrible evils. Maybe someone was going to wipe out the entire human race and God providentially intervened to stop that. And we've never heard about it because it never happened. We don't know. We only know the evils that did happen we're aware of. And we say, well, why would God do something like that? And for me, I would say I might not know the answer to particular evils, why this particular bad thing happened, every single reason for it. But I know general reasons why God allows there to be evil in the world, because he created man. He wants us to have certain goods, living in a physical world, being embodied, having free will. And with those goods, there are parasitic evils that are attached to that. And so God, though, redeems the world by by scouring and purging evil from it even until the very last day, and brings this eternal weight of glory to us and reckons all things at the end of the world.
Fair enough. Tony, thank you for that call. We can say we share with you that we don't know the reasons, but we do trust that God has reasons. We'll be right back with more. Trent Horn, why are you an atheist? On Catholic Answers Live.
Got questions? Visit us today at Catholic.com.
Anna Mitchell.
I had this formative experience during one Sunday Mass in the Easter season in seventh grade. During the Gloria, I remember having this sense of being filled. If you can imagine what it must feel like to be a cup being filled with water, that's how it felt. It started at my feet and it moved up my body. And I've come to believe that that was the Holy Spirit. And I can really trace my zeal for the faith back to that moment.
The Sunrise Morning Show, Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
As legend tells it, 500 years ago, a disaffected Augustinian priest nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Wittenberg Cathedral. The evidence that he actually did this is pretty thin, but Martin Luther's objections to Catholic teachings concerning purgatory and indulgences set off a series of countless ruptures that the Church suffers to this very day. The faithful Catholic wants to be God's instrument in healing these ruptures, but may not know where to begin. Join us this September 28th to 30th as we tackle the topic at Catholic Answers' 4th National Apologetics Conference, the Reunion of All Christians, a lively and inspiring conference designed to ignite and inform your faith. We've got an all-star lineup of speakers guaranteed to fire you up. Catholic historian Steve Weidenkopf, apologist Mark Brumley, apologist Devin Rose, plus all of your favorite Catholic Answers apologists. This is an event you don't want to miss. This is where it all begins. Join us this September for a conference that is sure to leave you wanting more. Seats are still available, but they're going fast. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 1-888-291-8000 today to register. That's CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Our summer series continues tomorrow. I'll be over at Ascension Parish here in Tierra Santa section of San Diego. If you want to come by at 7 p.m., my talk is called Five Great Deceptions We Face Today. And if you can't be there live, this is one of the ones that we're streaming via Facebook. So you can go to our Facebook page and get the stream of it there. I got a haircut for this, so that's another enticement there. Because if you want to see it, just a really beautiful, beautiful haircut. Our guest this hour, Trent Horn, has written a full book and many places in articles and in parts of other books has dealt with the question of atheism. We invite our atheist friends, we hope you are our friends, to give us a call today. We'd like to discuss why you are an atheist, why the arguments and the evidences that are given for the existence of God do not convince you. 888-318-7884, the number, 888-318-7884. That's what we call Jerry speed right there. I was giving the number at Jerry Usher speed. Paul, in Billings, Montana, you are on with Trent Horn. Why are you an atheist?
Well, I was born and raised a Catholic, so I started out and went to 12 years of Catholic education. So I started life basically accepting Catholicism, Christianity and Catholicism in particular. And I started reading, started taking some science classes, and slowly started to realize that there is no real reason to have a God. Everything in reality, in our existence, is easily explained by science. And when I say science, I mean by observing existence, reality, whatever you want to look at, the cosmos, biology. And it's all pretty easily understood without needing a God. So there, that's how I got there.
Okay, Paul. What is science, or what is the goal of science as a subject?
Observing reality and making hypotheses from what you observe, coming up with experiments to prove or disprove your observation, and performing the experiment and seeing what results you get, and then building on that. If you get a positive result, then you've got some evidence for something or other, and then you build on that.
Okay, so science answers some questions we have about the world. It answers some questions by providing natural explanations for things we observe. I agree with that. But are there some questions that science cannot answer?
Not that I can think of. I'm sure you have some. So
yeah, sure. I have many. One would be, is there a scientific experiment you perform that answers the question, what is science?
I think there probably could be. I don't know. That sounds more philosophical to me than scientific, but
Does philosophy does philosophy answer questions that are different from what science answers? Or here's another one. Is there a scientific experiment you can... Okay, because here's another one. Is there a scientific experiment you can perform that answers the question, is science important?
Yeah, I think there is.
Which experiment would that be?
Well, you could look at the sum total of the technology that we have benefited as hominids from all of the science that's accumulated knowledge of everything, and you could surmise that we are better off.
That sounds more like an assumption or a value judgment than a scientific conclusion.
Well, you know, you're a smart guy and you're well-read and well-educated. You know that in science, you gather evidence. You don't use the words like proof or absolutes. You say things like surmise, and that's a scientific way of speaking. It doesn't mean that you're not pretty sure, but you don't say and this is a reason I'm not religious, is that when you open the Bible and if you read a certain passage, and if you feel pretty confident that you understand what that says, and then you're listening to the word of God. You're listening to an absolute. Science is not absolute. Science is the gathering of evidence. And when the evidence proves that something is beneficial or harmful or works a certain way or doesn't work a certain way, you have evidence. And that's all you have. You don't have proof.
Can you have evidence for God?
Well, I don't think so. That would be my point.
Is it possible for there to be evidence of God?
I don't see how. Because you would be talking about something that would live outside of physics, the known laws of physics, biology, defying the laws of gravity, things like that. Well, if you could prove that, if you could scientifically prove that somebody floated from Earth up into the sky, that would be awesome. But can you prove that?
But I think you're referring to the ascension of Jesus recorded in Scripture. And that's not a scientific truth. It's a historical truth. You can't scientifically prove that, whether Jesus ascended into the sky, as the Gospels record, you would have to say, well, is the Gospel reliable? What probability do we give that? Just the same as if you read an ancient document that says that Julius Caesar crossed the Rubicon River, that's not science. You're doing a historical investigation there, right? Or it's a kind of science.
Well, no. Caesar didn't need supernatural means to cross the river. So whether he did or didn't,
you're already assuming that the only things that are real are quote-unquote natural things or things that are not related to God. It sounds like you're making an assumption that there is the universe, God is not involved with it in any way, shape, or form, and that's just what's present there. Because it seems to me if we can't get on the train, Paul, if you say, well, there couldn't even be evidence for God, because... We should talk, what's the hypothetical, at least, that if God existed, if we define God as the creator of the universe, wouldn't an evidence for a creator be the fact that the universe is not self-explained or the universe requires an explanation? Would that at least be possible evidence for God?
Well, cosmology is a difficult subject, and I don't pretend to have any expertise in that world, but there is the theory of the Big Bang, and there is quantum fields and things like that. And again, I am not speaking as an expert, but I know that there is physical reasons that the universe came into existence theoretically. And yes, you can question them, and there's conflicting evidence and there's conflicting theories. But if you went to church on Sunday and the priest levitated above the altar for 5 minutes or seconds or any period of time, that, and it was observed and filmed and everything, and it wasn't
that would convince you.
Magician doing a trick.
Would that convince you?
No, but it would be great evidence.
Okay, so it would be evidence. Why would it be? It sounds like that would be evidence to you because that's not naturally possible.
Yes. It's very simple. My inability to believe in God is very simple. There's no proof.
you're saying there's no proof, but where is the evidence for the claim there is no proof? Because I would argue for proof. I would say that just as it is naturally impossible for a person to defy the law of gravity, it is naturally impossible for something like a universe to come from absolute nothing. That if a priest violated the law of gravity and that was evidence for God, then if we have a law of metaphysics or a law of reality, like something cannot come from nothing, and we do observe that if the Big Bang theory is true and the universe came from nothing, that would at least be evidence for God because we have a law of reality seemingly being broken, would we not?
Well, no, because are you familiar with Lawrence Krauss and
yes.
his work?
Yes.
Okay, so he wrote a book, Universe from Nothing, and he gives his, cosmologists' present theory for how a universe could come from, and it's not nothing. The universe didn't come from nothing. It came from something. However explainable it is again, it's not something I feel confident that I should be lecturing on because I'm not a cosmologist.
Paul, before we have to go to our next break, let me ask you another hypothetical, because I respond to Krauss in my book, Answering Atheism, and he does a bait and switch. He tries to say a universe from nothing, and he redefines nothing to be a quantum field, which is something. So now that begs the question, did this quantum field exist forever? And there's good reason scientifically and philosophically to say that no, it has not existed forever. Even that reality came from absolute nothing. So my last question to you would be this. If there were evidence the whole universe came from absolute nothing, no pre-existing matter or energy, would you see that at least as being evidence for a creative power or force like God beyond the natural world?
Well, yeah, it's not a great question. I wish I had a better one because, I think Krauss did a little bit of a bait and switch, and he talks about nothing and then quantum fields. But so
let's go back to my hypothetical before we have to depart. If we did see, the universe came from absolute nothing, so there's no physical explanation for the universe, would you be open to an explanation beyond space, time, matter, and energy, or a supernatural one?
That's just not a great question. I'm sorry. I can't answer that question because that's a hypothetical. I am just saying that nothing that I have seen or read about or observed in my daily life gives me any inkling that there's anything that breaks the laws of physics. And so it's a no-brainer to me to say that this universe exists without the need for a creator.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we're going to have to move on here, but I think that this is a very interesting exchange that I hear atheists always tell me I should be open-minded. I should be a free thinker. But I found it very interesting in our conversation I'm just asking the question, if, and it's not an insane hypothetical, it's an understandable one, all of physical reality had a beginning from absolute nothing, from no physical state, wouldn't we ask, well, why did that happen? And I'm not saying, would you believe in God if that were shown to be the case? I'm saying, would you be open to that being evidence for God? Maybe not conclusive, but at least evidence. And to have the immediate resistance to that, it's easy to say, oh, I believe in a levitating priest because I can't find a good example of that. But when we have something we have good evidence for, like the beginning of the universe from nothing, suddenly there's a strange resistance to that even possibly being evidence for God. And I think I would challenge our atheistic friends, do you look at the evidence with possibly a resistance to God existing? Are you like Thomas Nagel, the famous atheistic, or at least non-religious scientist who said, I don't want there to be a God? If so, try being open-minded, maybe. Something to think about.
We'll leave it there, and we've got lots of folks want to challenge you, Trent, or at least share why they themselves are atheists when we come back right after this on Why Are You an Atheist Day at Catholic Answers Live. We'll be right back.
Why are you an atheist? Call now. Trent is waiting to talk to you.
Time is running out to help Catholic Answers' annual summer campaign. It's a crucial time because we need to offset the drop in donations that occurs every summer. We're making progress toward our goal, but we still need you to help. Souls are on the line, and your help lets us reach millions of people every year. Catholic Answers publishes books, booklets, CDs, and digital content, bringing you the best in Catholic apologetics and evangelization. Our flagship publication, Catholic Answers Magazine, is the leading journal of Catholic apologetics. Catholic Answers speakers reach tens of thousands of people every year. Every single month, more than a million people visit Catholic Answers' website, catholic.com. We also encourage people across the country and around the world through online social media, including Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other online platforms. We maintain a staff of full-time apologists to answer questions by phone and email from people who need personalized help. Catholic Answers Live features prominent leaders in the church and answers listeners' questions on every aspect of church life. It's available to you by radio, online, and now it's seen on EWTN television. If you care about your Catholic faith and want to see it grow, please help Catholic Answers continue this vital work. To hear how you can help Catholic Answers, visit Catholic.com and click the 2017 Summer Campaign banner. That's the 2017 Summer Campaign banner at Catholic.com.
Pope Francis said, "The key that opens the door to faith is prayer." Join St. Paul Street Evangelization by running a prayer station in the public square. You don't need to be a professional apologist or theologian. Just listen to the needs of the people you encounter. Offer encouragement, take prayer requests, and pray with people. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Homeschool Connections has recently formed a partnership featuring a dual enrollment program with Franciscan University of Steubenville. Our website is homeschoolconnections.com. We are a proud sponsor of Catholic Answers Live.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Why are you an atheist is our question this hour. We're very grateful for all of our callers, many still waiting. And there I see, one line open, 888-318-7884. If you would like to speak with Trent Horn about why you are not convinced that there is a God, 888-318-7884 is the number. I wonder if a trip to the Holy Land might deepen your faith that there is a God. What do you think, Trent?
It might. I think that.
Do you know of any?
Well, God. I certainly do. I think if you think God is out there, and many people believe that, it's important to know God did come down here, so to speak. He became a person. You know, he is a person, became incarnate, became man in the person of Jesus Christ to redeem the world from its sins. And this happened in history, in verifiable history, that Jesus is a verifiable member of the historical record. And we can ask, is he a liar, a lunatic, or the Lord he proclaimed himself to be. And I think it's wonderful for Catholics to actually go to the Holy Land so their faith isn't just kind of ethereal. It becomes very real to walk where Jesus walked. That's why I'm really happy to offer next Easter a pilgrimage to the Holy Land I'll be leading. The website is holyland2018.com. And it's from March 23rd through April 3rd. We're going to visit Nazareth, Galilee, Bethlehem, and we'll be spending Easter in Jerusalem, you know, celebrating Good Friday at the Stations of the Cross where Jesus walked, in the tomb where Jesus was buried and rose from the dead. It'll be a wonderful experience, and so I hope those who are listening can sign up. Sign-ups are going to come to an end relatively soon, so if you'd like to get in on that, please check out the website holyland2018.com, and I hope to see you there.
That's so cool, though, Easter in Jerusalem.
Yep.
That's really cool.
There are going to be a lot of pilgrims there. It'll be a little packed, but it's going to be an unforgettable experience.
Right, right indeed. All right, back to callers we go. Folks have been waiting. We go now to Stephen in New Jersey, watching on YouTube. Thanks for watching us on YouTube. Stephen, what's your – oh, I was going to say what's your question, but my question for you is, why are you an atheist, Stephen?
Well, I guess I'd say I'm more of agnostic. I mean, like – you know, I still go to church, and I still, you know, I was kind of wondering, like, why would, you know, I understand, like, that you need God to kind of create the universe because you can't get something from nothing, but, you know, if God did that, then why would he care about us? You know, there's such a big universe, and it's kind of like, why are we important, I guess,
sure.
Is my question.
That's a good question.
Like, why would God care about us, I guess?
Yeah. Let me offer you an analogy, Stephen, that I think can show that why that is. Imagine, a family, you know, went off in space, kind of like that old TV show Lost in Space. You know, danger, Will Robinson, danger. So they go off and they explore through a wormhole and they find an alien planet, a huge planet that's never been discovered before. And the father sends his children down to explore and colonize the planet. And what if we asked, like, you know, and they're down there and they're telling, they meet other intelligent life forms there, other aliens that they can talk to. And the aliens say, they say, well, you know, we were brought here, our father brought us here, and we're exploring this world. And they say, you know, oh, where is he? Well, he's up in our orbiting spaceship. Well, how can there be this person you speak of up there? Why would he care about three little puny life forms like you in this massive world we live on? Like, if you think about how big this world is, you know, why would he care about you three little insignificant specks on it? And I think their answer would be pretty clear. You know, it's, well, he's our father, you know, he created us, he loves us, and he brought us here. So I think if you look at the same way that God, if God is omnipotent, creates a magnificent, huge universe in his all-powerful nature, nothing keeps him from loving the human beings he created to know and worship and love him in return. So I guess that might be the way I kind of look at it. What do you think of that example?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that makes sense. Like, you know, if God makes everything, then, you know, why wouldn't he like it? If he didn't like it, why would he make it? Yeah,
that's right. And why wouldn't he make, because then there's different kinds of things he can create, animals, stars, oceans, neutrinos, subatomic particles. And they all differ in different physical characteristics, but I think we would say that one aspect of the universe, I mean, the universe is so broad, huge, gigantic, but as far as we know, there is only one thing in the universe capable of understanding the question, why does any of this matter? And so in this giant universe, there becomes an important focal point, the human beings who are observing it. And then that leads to the question that why is this part of the universe different in the fact that humans aren't just molecular machines. You know, we can reason, think, love, care, be courageous, sacrifice, and we understand right, wrong, goodness, and beauty, and truth, that there must be something about us that makes us different than the rest of the physical world. And I would say what makes us different is that we were created, and we have an immaterial soul. We have an image of that divine creator who is truth, goodness, and beauty, who made us, and so we're like him in those respects, and he wants us to be like him, to know things, to be just, right, good, and merciful. And so that's kind of the drama of salvation from the creation of the world that God has made for us. So maybe one more thought if you have from that, but that's might be how I would put it.
Yeah, no, I guess that makes sense. But like then, like, you know, I get that he would care about us, but like, why would there be like certain things like commandments, like, why would he care, like, you know, don't steal things? Like, why would it be so, like, specific, like, specific things, like, not to do, you know?
Sure. Well, I would say, to go back to the analogy of my Lost in Space family, if the father loves his children, sends them to this planet. Now, please, that's just an analogy. We don't believe, as some certain religious believers do, that God is a literal man in the sky or on another planet. We don't believe that. God is all powerful. It doesn't have a body, exists beyond space and time. But to go to the analogy, the father who takes his kids to this other planet, you know, these three little specks down there on the planet, he might tell them, go explore, rejoice in this natural wonder of this planet. But remember, don't, you know, your air regulator, monitor this. Don't step on this plant. It'll eat through your suit. Why does he give these specific rules? Well, in each one, it's because he's guarding his children against things that would hurt them. And so what we as Catholics believe is that God both writes on our hearts what we should do morally. That's why even non-religious people have a conscience. They deep down know what's right and wrong. And also, just to make it really clear to us, he might give us commandments that he reveals himself to people and says, just in case you didn't, if you don't listen to your conscience, here's the commandment. Don't steal, don't murder, don't commit adultery, because life and marriage and sexuality are good things. And if you misuse these good things, you're going to be in a world of hurt. And as the God who loves you, I don't want that for you. So they're not rules that are arbitrary. They're rules corresponding to our nature so we can flourish as being created in God's image to come to love him and love other beings created in his image and love the universe he's created at all. So good questions. And if you have any other ones, feel free to call back at another time. We're very grateful you called.
Thank you, Stephen. We go now to Rob in North Carolina, driving toward Virginia. Rob, you are on with Trent Horn. Why are you an atheist?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Yes.
Okay. You know, I mean, to answer that question, I mean, I doubt I can articulate it with any good sense in 1 to 2 minutes, but I'd say that the short answer is, whether or not you call me an atheist or an agnostic or some other label, the fact is I don't feel it necessary to believe in a God. There may be one, and I'm you know, happy to acknowledge that there is some possibility there's something far greater than us, at least something greater than me, and maybe something spun this into motion, this whole creation that we're familiar with as reality. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'd say that the short answer is spending maybe took me about 35 years of being a Christian and observing and being a fairly devout Christian. But I realized after watching and experiencing humanity on many levels across the globe, locally and beyond, and coming to understand humans and human suffering and, you know, what divides us, what joins us, I really simply came to realize that believing in a God was not going to necessarily provide me with a good life. It wasn't going to make me a good person.
Rob, we're getting so close to the end now. Did you want to form that into something specific?
Okay. Well, let me I'll give you the short answer. I would be just depressed beyond belief if I had to spend eternity with many of these godly people.
Okay. I wish we had more time. I always do. I would say that, you know, Rob, I agree with you. And in fact, read the letter of James in the Bible. Mere belief in God, you're correct, is not enough to make us a good person. Even the demons believe in God and they tremble. James talks about people who hear God's law and forget it, like a person who looks in a mirror and then forgets his own reflection. So I would say mere belief is not enough, but mere belief propels us, it dispenses us towards union with God to become like God, so we can be not those phony godly believers you want nothing to do with, but true godly believers who love others as God does. And that, I think, does make all the difference in the world. So read the letter of James and call back and listen more. We'd love to engage more in another show.
Thanks very much, Rob. And if you're on the line, stay on the line. We've got a whole hour more of Why Are You an Atheist right after this.